next case on our calendar, the State of Ohio versus Brian D. Brewer.
Yeah. Justice indicated, how do we get around the statute? On page 7 of your brief, you say where a statute is ambiguous, the court may consider the object sought to be retained, and that seems what we're arguing about now. What was the object of the General Assembly? But the statute specifically says, prior to the offender's release from the term of imprisonment, you screened him on the 30th of January, he was released on the 13th of January. What's ambiguous? Classify?
We wasn't classified. The letter, the notice of sentence, the notice was dated on the 30th of January. That the name of the letter said that this offender had been recently screened. It did not indicate when he was screened. It didn't indicate that he was screened after his release on the 13th of January.
Yeah, well, your brief says in a letter dated January 30th, the department recommended Brewer for classification under 2950. Brewer had already been released from prison. So regardless of whether we say screened or classified or when, it didn't happen until the 30th. There was no knowledge until the 30th. Is that right?
No, I'm sorry, Ron. It's in paragraph D, 2959. It says that the TRC has to determine whether it's classified.
That's what I was going to ask you regarding 2950, 09, C1, and C2. There appears to be no reference back to the section which has prior to language in it, nor any kind of statement to the sentence to hold the hearing.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So the only deadline there is a deadline for a determination as to whether to notify as the court of appeal to classify the person.
It would appear that the legislature's intent to make two sections and why they put them in there is to cover those individuals that would be on the verge of being released and not giving court decision by the whole hearing.
That's right. And I'm trying to make that point in front of the court of appeals about the ambiguity of the actual notice. It was impossible for the appellant to demonstrate error because the actual notice did not indicate when the determination was made.
The defendant for the trial court says that the screening was on January 2nd. That's not right. And that the first business day after the second day of the act, but did not notify the court until sometime after February 12, 1997. The defendant was released on January 5th, 1997, which would have been before the trial court was notified at the recommendation of the department. Is that the problem?
Well, then, if you really copy that, if you didn't have my green light, you don't have that. I found a release date of the 13th.
That's what I have. This is from Judge O'Neill's decision. I think she was the judge, the trial judge.
Well, you might see this is consolidated with other cases where I think we've got it.
Well, you can see what I'll say.
Yeah,
is the issue here that normally we deal with in terms of jurisdiction, and in terms of the effective date of statutes and retroactive or prospective. Here it seems where maybe the argument's being posed in, as if it were jurisdiction in terms of an effective date of a statute rather than some language in the statute about carrying out the procedures. And your argument is that those procedures in there are directory about but not jurisdictional. But the effective date of this statute really tells us which offenders are subject to it. Does it or doesn't it?
Well, I should really focus on the effective date of the line before the first part of your point about that you put the action as far as what has to be done.
Well, the statute does, the question is, does the statute speak to jurisdiction expressly? So how else do we know what who's within the, I mean, the statute, I mean, effective dates really start that whole analysis, I would think, in terms of where, right.
Typically, that's the effective date where we can see the point of analysis for the jurisdiction. In this case, there's a little bit of language in paragraph A of the plan that you might have said that you're going to classify the people under DNC to be proceedings for all of those sections. The Court of Appeals has taken on behalf of management for a jurisdictional basis. If you don't follow these procedures, then because of that language, it can only be done in these ways. Therefore, there's no statutory authority for it to exist. And that's why it's a jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it had anything to do, I don't think.
I know. I realize that's not in brief. I know it's not brief, but it might be really where the analysis is coming from, using prior to, but really thinking in terms of effective dates of statutes, where telling as opposed to procedural things that occur in the statute.
Mr. Chief Justice, I got off the pilot quickly. I'm going to divide my time.
Argument, but what about the other side arguing that the statute says that the Department of Corrections essentially shall determine whether to recommend, as opposed to prior to release, court shall.
Well, let's look at the responsibility here. This court has indicated in opinion on the director is over the court of the state. So the state has the Department of Rehabilitation Corrections has the duty to trigger the process through a letter to or a recommendation to the platform this individual to be cleaned as a sexual predator. It's their responsibility. It's in their control. They are targeted
Is that the answer, though? That although the statute doesn't expressly require a court to do anything prior to, that a court loses jurisdiction because DOC, which is mentioned in the statute, starts the process. Is that the answer?
Well, I think the analogy would be to speak to Brian.
Right.
And when you've got the state in control of the process.
But it does, I thought the same thing. You know, I think you're analogizing to speedy trial, and I'm wondering where speedy trial says, you know, shall be tried. It's 270 days, whatever. It says court shall. And I'm wondering if this isn't more akin to, like, pre-indictment delay. We've had some cases like that where really the issue becomes, if it goes too long, in one of these cases of sexual predator who doesn't get his hearing for a long time, may have some sort of due process claim that violated his due process rights, much like pre-indictment delay. But is it really analogous to speedy trial rights, which are so specific and express statutorily, and go to court, you shall?
Well, yes, I think that it is, because not only do you have the initial motion, but then you go on to where the prosecutor gets the first on its opinion, then you have the process. And the process clearly does not provide anything outside of pre-release classification. There's nothing there other than the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation bringing forward the recommendation.
But the absence of it, I know, you're saying, well, it's not there anywhere else, so we should read into it. That's why I'm sort of hearing you say that because it's not in there, it ought to be read into there.
No, but what is in there is a very defined process. And each one point in that process, the language is prior to.
Is there anything in this record that shows when they recommended that the offender be adjudicated? When the DOC did it? Is there anything?
No, I think that was point to the fact that had they put a timeline in there, that kind of timeline the Department of Rehabilitation Corrections, maybe that would have been at the
if they had the habit of keeping minutes of these sort of administrative hearings within the department, and they could show that it was discussed and recommended prior to, is that enough?
No, I don't think that it is. Again, the responsibility is with the state here, and to pull the defendant in a sense captive to the state claim is lost in the last minute, I think avoids the purpose of this legislation. If the
so you think the hearing has to be held before his release?
I think it has to be held in an appropriate time so that the individual is still within the class of individuals envisioned by the legislature to be subject to sexual predator hearing.
What does that mean?
That requires the classification to occur prior to the release. To do otherwise is that they do...
The classification means a hearing.
Yes.
So they want us to read the statute and put something into it. You want us to read the statute too and put something into it, don't you?
There is no way...
Because it doesn't say hearing, does it? It just says recommendation.
That's correct. However, elsewhere in the definitional section, it comes back to who can be classified as a sexual predator. And it's very clear that the universe that the legislature envisions is applying to, including only those who are classified prior to the release. To do otherwise, it's in the sense of what the legislature can be doing that's public. Clearly, it has to make a demarcation line.
You're referring to G01G3, are you not? Where it says it's sexual determination of sex offender must be made before the person is released from prison.
Correct.
Which seems to say the General Assembly wants it to happen before the determination by the court had to happen before the person is released from prison.
And it is clearly the responsibility of the control of the state to have that happen in the time requirements to be provided by the directory as opposed to mandatory. But clearly, after you read through the procedures in business, it's a death process. Things must occur prior to the other thing, in that the recommendation must be made. The judge may not choose to go forward with the judgment. So not all recommended offenders will be classified. There's a process in business for giving the information back to the prison and putting the individual's record. That can only occur if it's up to date prior to the release. Once the offender is then ready for release back to the community, it is only the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections duty to tell the individual the specifics of his or her requirements to register. Where did he go? When did he go? How often did he go? There's no provision anywhere in the statute or any other mechanism to inform the offender how this will occur.
Agree a client, if it were your client, that there would be a due process claim that you could make.
Mm-hmm. If we look at other procedural requirements that have been determined to be directed, we see that those requirements are to speed up the process. The case decided by the state deal with issues that have parties before the court at a time when the court has jurisdiction over the parties. The issues are the timing primarily of the release of the decision by the court or moving the individual into prison. It's hard to imagine that any of those time periods could be a source for waiving jurisdiction on issues that were properly before the court initially. However, in this case, our argument is when an offender has been released from prison, who has committed a sexually violent offense and was in prison on January 1, the court no longer has the jurisdiction because they're not part of the crime. Because clearly, the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation does not have the duty to forward a recommendation on everyone they release from prison to the sexually violent offense. Thank you.
issue was never really discussed, or was it ever presented to Judge Ringland that you know about? The issue we're talking about now.
No, it was not.
You're saying that because you know my next question is, was it preserved, right? Okay, so you're claiming it to be jurisdictional because of the time limitation. So Judge Ringland never had a chance to even look at this.
Thank you.
said we could carry that, I would guess that we could carry that ad infinitum, could we not? I mean, we wouldn't have to worry about who's in prison. We, excuse me, could say, well, somebody's been out of prison for 10 years, and public safety is still the same, but the General Assembly decided it's just the president. It's just the president. So there, with the Post Act, there's a beginning time, and some things have happened before the statute, and we just, that's just the way it is. I mean, we can't go back. Here, I guess I wondered, do you think the General Assembly just didn't see this sort of gap, which wouldn't affect, I would guess, too many people, but hopefully. But is this, did they just miss this, or do you think they thought about it and this is the way they came out?
No, I think they saw this, they wanted to hear it sooner before the person got out of prison. They wanted to join at this point, and they wanted to talk about the screening process occurring before release. In point at this point, ONG3, they're talking about prior to release from the prison. But I think that's because they want to get close, not because they think time is of the essence for the defendant.
Is it fair to say, if we accept your argument, that the state can bring one of these things 10 years, 5 years after he's released from prison? It really could. If we accept your argument, there is no time limit, is there? Get around to making the recommendation until 5 years later. And all of a sudden you snatch one of these people, bring them into court and say, yeah, we know you've been out of prison for 5 years, but we've decided we're going to hold a hearing to see if you're a sexual predator. You could do that, couldn't you?
Yes.
Do you think the General Assembly intended for that to happen?
Definitely not. They did not intend that to happen.
So what do we do with that then? If we think that the General Assembly intended, then I guess we write an opinion that says for these sort of narrow cases we've got here, that only applies to them, and that's how we correct that, how we make sure we comply with the General Assembly's intention.
Well, I think it's important that these are not cases where they were waiting 5 years, or you can't do 5 years.
These are kind of transition cases.
Or that undue delay is raised by a defendant in terms of due process. 5 years, right?
There could be a due process issue there, too. But I think the bottom line on this is prior to means prior to, and I can tell you that it does, but the reason it means that, and the reason that put it there is to protect the public and sustain the public safety purposes provision that the treaty is jurisdictional and have everyone to shrug their shoulders because there was some mistake made as part of the time. If someone for whatever reason, they do not have the hearing before the person gets out, people still need to be protected. And is the remedial law broadly interpreted or set in code as the remedial law? And therefore, I would do it as broadly as possible to protect the public safety purpose of the law. And therefore, I think we extend any person who is in prison as of January 1, 1997.
Thank you, Taylor. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.